Okay.
There you go. Hello, Lauren.
Good morning. Here we go. Another entering into the final phase of emotional intelligence.
Right. We're
it's
getting
a much timely, newsworthy topic.
We're getting smarter every day in the Lord.
Oh my goodness. So this is the fourth stage. Welcome to all of you that are tuning in. We are very excited to enter into this fourth stage of emotional intelligence. We've covered, and you too can visit edgegodin.com and listen to the previous podcasts that cover the first three stages of emotional intelligence. The first stage is, how aware am I of my own emotional state of being, my own emotions? And how much do I give myself permission to feel those emotions and to be able to express them in a healthy way, which is brings us to the second phase. How aware am I of my emotions and how well do I manage them? Do I react in life more than take advantage of the pause, inviting the Holy Spirit to soften my responses, to choose my responses, to align in a way that honors the person I'm committed to being and the person that God's calling me to be loving, kind, compassionate, gentle, patient. That's the second phase. So the first is, how aware are you of your emotions? Second phase of emotional intelligence is, how well do you manage those emotions once they bubble up to the surface? Third phase is, how aware are you of other people's emotions, emotional expressions in life? And the fourth stage, which we're jumping into today, and before we jumped on, we were talking about the importance of this phase, particularly in the times we are living today. This phase of emotional intelligence offers incredible opportunity to be a peacemaker and a city set on a hill, to make God recognizable, to bring love in the midst of hatred, to bring light in the midst of darkness. This phase is your ability to be able to successfully manage or not, depending on your choice, the emotions, particularly the negative emotions of other people around you. Now, just jumping into a little neuroscience here, what's interesting to remember is that we have something called mirror neurons. Mirror neurons are a recent discovery in the last decade that reveal that we actually have neurons that fire in response to the neurons that are firing in the brain of the person we're speaking to. So, anger evokes anger. When they've done studies on this, the part of the brain that swells when a person is in an angry, expressive state actually triggers the neurons in the receiver of that anger. Not only so with the mirror neurons, it creates that anger, also the cortisol, the stress hormone, goes up in the receiver as well as the sender of the anger. So this is an incredible space to really draw into the Lord, to pray for the grace of temperance so that wisdom can drop in. On the flip side of that, studies have revealed that when a person chooses to separate themselves from the emotional outbursts of other people and remain in a place of calm, unattachment, understanding that they are not the emotional responses of other people. And this is a highly, highly advanced practice, and one that's definitely worth our time, that we can actually change the brain waves again in the sender of the negative emotion by remaining unattached. And this is actually scriptural. When you return a negative response with a kindness, you heap burning coals on that person's head. Basically, you turn it back to that person, which actually leads to self-reflection if the person is willing to go there, because you didn't get triggered, so you didn't put fuel to the fire. You're actually able to raise the brain waves to a higher space. Love evokes love. Kindness evokes kindness. Anger evokes anger. So welcome to the fourth podcast in emotional intelligence. My ability to respond in a conscious, godly manner in the face, your ability to respond in a conscious, godly manner in the face of negative emotions is in direct proportion to your awareness, my awareness around the truth that I am not another person's emotional expressions, either way. As we anchor our identity and beliefs in God, truly, dear God, who do you say that I am? What are you calling me to exhibit, to represent? We are therefore ambassadors, and Christ is making his appeal through our actions, through our choice of response to the world around us. As we anchor our identity and beliefs in God, we're able to offer responses that validate, empathize, and encourage the sender of the emotions. And this becomes biological. Then, as JF Kennedy said, one high tide lifts all ships. Be that high tide. When I forget that I'm safe and connected to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, I am vulnerable and defensive. And I'm very vulnerable to the defensive behavior, which pushes people away and blocks those healthy solutions. I'll step into one-upping when someone comes to your space. It's a powerful reflection to just think back over the last week. In the last week, when someone came against you with a negative emotion, observe your responses. Usually, we will flip into one-upping, meaning we'll start to, for example, your spouse comes to you and says, hey, you're leaving your clothes around and I'm constantly picking up. The one-upping response would be, and that frustrates me. Let's say they come to you and they say, I'm really frustrated because you're leaving your clothes all around and I'm having to clean it up all the time. One-upping response would be, well, you leave all your crap all over the sink and I have to constantly push it aside. So that's one-upping. A godly response would be one that takes advantage of a very powerful technique that Harville Hendricks speaks about, which is imago dialogue, that involves three phases of mirroring what the person says, validating, and then empathizing. So the response, instead of one-upping or, well, you should clean up your stuff, or, well, at least I pick up this. So we start to justify our negative behaviors rather than owning them and mirroring back out of love for the person or the sender of the frustration and saying, wow, what I hear you saying is you're frustrated because I'm leaving my stuff around. And that's frustrating for you because not only are you cleaning up your stuff, you're also cleaning up my stuff. And then even bringing it back to that sense of validation, that makes sense to me. It totally makes sense to me that that would be frustrating. And thank you for bringing this to my attention. And so you're giving them that sense of validation. And then you even move to empathy. Perhaps you're a little angry because you're working as hard as I am. And now you have to work extra hard to clean up my stuff. And that makes sense to me, to be able to give that gift of that all human beings long for. You make sense to me. Wonderful, powerful reminders from Harville Hendricks in the book, Getting the Love You Want. So dear God, who will save us from these insecurities of self-doubt and fear that cause us to sling negative emotion back in the face of negative emotions? Again, as Paul said, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we can give space for the Holy Spirit to anchor us in Christ's confident, consistent, loving kindness, which will overflow into our emotional intelligence within relationships that we encounter in our Earth School journey today. Yes. So we will be moving through a couple of different aspects, and we actually have kind of an infrastructure where you will learn something this morning. You will have the opportunity to reflect on what you learn, and then an opportunity to integrate and identify specifics in your own life on how the new learnings apply to your own life. And then a tip to maintain what you're learning this morning. Again, if you go to edgegodin.com, you'll be able to download a Bible study resource, a study guide to help you move through these Bible studies. So this focus is a powerful focus, and there is lots to learn. So Dr. Yes. Stella, what can we learn from this? This is a very powerful space.
Yeah, it is a very powerful space, and it takes a lot of training. You know, one of the things, this whole emotional intelligence ideal came from Daniel Goleman, and he tested the five components of EQ, which is emotional intelligence. And those five components, if you don't know, are self-awareness, self-reflection, motivation, empathy, and social skills. And he evaluated their effectiveness, and his particular population was in leadership. And I always tell people, we all are leaders. We all are leaders in some way. Even if we're a gardener, we're leading whatever we do. So this concept doesn't apply to just a person that has a title. It applies to all of us as leaders of our church, leaders of our children, leaders of whatever project we're doing. It applies to all of us. But what he found, which was real interesting, is that he found a couple of things. He found that intellect is a driver of performance. He found that cognitive skills are important. He found that EQ was twice as important as technical skills and IQ. And the last thing he found, which is what we're talking about, is that EQ can be learned. You can learn this skill. It just takes some time. And that's what we're going to focus on today. How do you learn emotional intelligence in a godly way? Because a lot of this stuff applies to secular behavior, but it still all started with Jesus Christ. So relationship management and managing the emotions of others. When you're managing emotions of others, it takes us understanding first who we are. You know, God our Father says he has two qualities, right? He has the spirit and he has his soul. And in John 4:24, it tells us that God is spirit. Now, if you look at the word spirit, which when you're studying the Bible, right now there's a lot of new translations coming out. But we have to be very careful when we look at these translations. And they're easier to explain to the layman. But we really need to look at the Greek and Hebrew words when we're trying to understand the concept that God was giving us based on that time. So when you look at the Hebrew and Greek, the word spirit are commonly connected to terms of reflection, intellect, and intention. All the things are components of emotional intelligence. Being that image of God is important in how the way we manage our emotional intelligence. We want to do as he does. And he demonstrated this in the Old Testament and especially in the New Testament when Jesus came. So in Galatians 5:16, it taught us that we as Christians should walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Interesting. When we walk in the flesh, what happens? You know? So here's what it says. It says, but I say, live by the spirit and you will not carry the desires of the flesh.
That's so powerful. Just even memorizing that, you know, it's really important to store the word of God in your heart, even if that's your one takeaway from today's study.
Oh.
Memorizing that verse, live in the spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. The flesh is reactive. The flesh is self-oriented. It is fearful. It lives in shame, guilt, doubt, which causes those animal planet moments.
Oh, it totally does. Because, and I agree with you.
I agree with you,
Lauren. We have to embed these types of powerful scriptures in our heart. We need to meditate. You know, one of the things, the mindfulness movement is a big movement. But the mindfulness movement tells us to empty our mind. We as Christians go a step further. We don't empty our mind. We fill our mind with Christ's word. And this is what this does. Yes, because what's happening, again, Satan is going into this mindfulness movement and having us have no thought, be empty vessels. So what we need to do, and my goal, and I'm going to get Lauren on board. I'm getting Lauren on board with this. I want to create a mindful Christian experience. I want to create a platform where people can go in and not empty their minds. I went on a mindfulness, I went on a app the other day that I do every day, and there were only two apps that had a meditation revolved around God and mindfulness. My dog's getting it happy right now.
Yeah, exactly.
There's
he's
only
saying,
two.
Amen, sister.
He's saying, praise the Lord. Amen. But it's like there was only two apps. There is a real opportunity for us as Christians. Now, there's centering prayer, which is wonderful, but there's a real opportunity for us to invoke thought like this into people's mind. We could be in a meditation group and say, but I say, live by the Spirit, and you will carry out the desires of the flesh. What does that mean to you? Meditate on that, and we can explain it. That's our opportunity. That's our next praise. Praise God. Pray for that. But one of the things that you said, which is so true, Lauren, is we need to set our perspective because this is important. What is our perspective? Because not setting it leads to the things you talked about. Unmanaged emotions, gossip, bullying, envy, jealousy, victimizing, complaining about everything, going below the line of behaviors. If we don't set our perspective, which God tells us to do, here he tells us to do it in Romans 8:5. He says, for those who live according to the flesh have the outlook shaped by the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit have the outlook shaped by the things of the Spirit. For the outlook of the flesh is death. The outlook of the flesh is death. Mm-hmm. But the outlook of the Spirit is life and peace. Because mm-hmm. the outlook of the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to the law of God.
This is so powerful because, as you said, the mindfulness movement is about emptying, and as Christians, we're called to empty out those things of the flesh: envy, jealousy, victimization, complaining, below the line behaviors that literally flatline our performance in life, literally prevent us from living with the lights on and making God recognizable. So it's so important for us to be able to really take time to fill our minds with the things of God, whatever is good, right, true, beautiful, yes, excellent, praiseworthy. This is such a powerful, because this is our, this is really the archway to walk through to be able to step into the practice of the fourth phase of emotional intelligence, to manage the emotions of other human beings.
Right. And I say that a lot of times, in a way, the mindfulness movement talks about don't be mindful, but be mindless, right? Not to be, empty your mind. But in a sense, the Christian movement takes it a little bit further, because we really want to be mindful of the right things, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So really our goal for mindful people like us, is to fill our mind as much as we can with the Word of God, and then we'll be able to manage our behaviors. Mm-hmm. That we'll be able to take that next step, because if we don't know, if we're empty in our mind, we're really useless in the sense. Yes, we're peaceful at a point, but God tells us our true peace is what? He said, if our true peace is not living by the flesh, but living by the Spirit.
The Spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's our true peace. That's where we're going to find the peace.
And the
mind
controlled by the Spirit is life and peace.
It's life and peace.
And life and peace. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life.
We must also, in addition to understanding our perspective as Christians, we should also understand that managing the emotions of the Spirit and others develops the fruits of the Spirit. And I love this. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Is that everything we want?
Yes,
is that everything we want?
Absolutely everything.
Everything.
And there's also neuroscience behind this. It's not just speaking these words and practicing these in our lives. It's we are creating new neural pathways that, once we fire this good behavior, basically new neurons start to develop and literally override it, removes the old programming and creates new messaging systems in our brain.
Yes.
This is very, very biological. It creates new messaging systems in our brain. So let's say you have a response to anger. You respond to situations when you feel overlooked with anger. Usually that's a childhood block and wound that mm-hmm. just is resurfacing when we respond with quick anger. And when we practice responding, flipping the response with love, what science shows is that not only when we respond in love, it actually starts to rewire our own self-love.
Yes.
Respond in love, it comes right back to us and helps to heal our wounds.
And who gave us that? He did. He developed this body. He is the chemist mm-hmm. and the scientist that developed it all. So he knew exactly what he was doing.
We're wired for this. We are wired for this.
It's so simple that it's easy, but we don't realize it, right? But that's another trickery of Satan. He makes it anything he can do to
makes
keep
it
us
seem
away.
Difficult.
Yes, mm-hmm. it makes it seem difficult. And the other thing is, in this, there's so many aspects of this, you guys, and we could be on the call for hours. But the one other thing is that we need to know how to relate to God and to people, which which God shows us how to do. So some people say, okay, I don't know, you know, okay, I'm mindful. I know what I should do, but I don't know how to do it. Well, in Philippians 4:8, he tells us, he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of respect, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if something is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. And what you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, do these things. And the benefit is the peace of God will be with you. All we need to do is reflect on his word, and the peace of God will be with us.
Well, this is so powerful, because even, giving our first fruits to God, and I've ebbed and flowed with this since I accepted Christ into my life as my Lord and Savior when I was 17. There's times when the shiny objects get so intense that we water down our commitment to giving God the first fruits of our day.
Yes.
And that's biological as well. The energy and our ability to change and to implement change is the strongest before noon. So yes, putting in that time, the first fruits of your day, I've never been left empty-handed when I give God the first fruits of my day.
No.
Will maximize my time tenfold.
Yes.
So to store the word of God in your mind, to change your biology so that you're protected and you remember. I'll give a quick example of this, applying this. When we put ourselves in the word of God, and I've been doing this, really committed to this in the last couple of months, we are better equipped. We step into Ephesians chapter 6, the helmet of salvation, sword of the spirit, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth. We literally have that gap, that strength to be able to maintain our emotional intelligence in Christ. When something is thrown our way. The other day, somebody threw a comment my way that was very hurtful, very, very hurtful. And I felt my whole biology well up. I felt this pain in my chest. I felt my neck tighten up. And literally, my response is fighting back. Mm-hmm. And so I heard, because I've been meditating on the word of God, and I literally heard very clearly the voice of the Lord say, "Do not pick this up. This is a coal that came out of them. If you pick up this hot coal, it will become yours. Do not touch. Do not taste."
Amen.
Do not touch. Do not taste. Mm-hmm. And then the next verse that popped into my mind is, "The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. So stay in a place of love."
It literally,
because I didn't pick it up, I listened. Do not touch, do not taste, remain. John chapter 15, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Mm-hmm. In that encounter, that was an emotional intelligence opportunity to practice maintaining love for those people who are unconscious in their pain body and acting out their pain. And then just having that image, it's a coal that drops out of them. Don't pick it up.
Amen. And that was a total word from God. And, you know, and these things happen to us all the time, especially sometimes when we're in the word, because Satan gets mad about that. But what Satan can't do is if you're so full with the word and you're so full with God's love, love's going to come out. It happened to God all through the time he was getting ready, being prepared to die.
And it's crazy when it's happening, when he's overriding you, because you're almost looking. I was looking for, like, I'm like, holy cow, I don't have any animosity or anger toward this person. This is crazy. where is it? Because usually I'd be like flaring it, and I'd be ruminating this over and over in my mind. But there was nothing.
Yeah,
nothing.
But you know what? It's funny, because those persons, you know, you're helping them to manage their emotions too, because once they throw that out there and you react the way God was, they're like,
"Don't pick it up."
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, so they didn't react the way I wanted them sometimes, or I expected them. You know, it's that expectation. So so when we move to the reflection piece, which is the next, so now you've learned some of what God says, we're going to move into the reflection piece, which talks about, okay, how do we set our perspectives? Mm. You know, our ego. Oh, we don't have that, right? Lord, we don't have an ego. Our managed emotions of our spirit and others. And how do we relate to God and to his people? Well, it's by identifying and integrating. Mm. So here are some godly steps you can take to manage emotions and those of others. The first one is, put off the qualities that negatively affect relationships and recognize what's going on in your life and the life of others. What this does, it frees you from the pain that keeps you from seeing the life and the suffering of others. Many times people react because they're going through it. And I'll tell you an example, and I shared this with my students last night in class. Sometimes I build my relationships on first impressions, and which all the time can't be true, right? When I was meeting this little young girl that Jay was friends with when she was a child, maybe a teenager, I was going to meet her mother. And her mother, her mother was in the garage, came out, and Courtney went and got her mother. And she said, "I don't have time to meet her. I don't have time." Well, my first expression is, "Hey, you're not paying with that girl's mom. You know, she didn't have time for me," you know? It was like, But as I got to know the situation, the mother is very stressed out. She was a single mom. She had a business. She was a sole provider. She was just a very highly emotional person. The sweetest woman in the world. But there were some things going on in her life and suffering that she was experiencing that I didn't understand. That if I hadn't managed my emotions and put out, put off the qualities, I would have categorized it. So that's number one. Number two, you need to put to death the inward negative moves and appetites that destroy inner peace and joy. Now, this may be for some being mindfulness, right? Because if you don't put anything into your life, you're not going to get inner peace, right? So I would say take that mindfulness to another level where you're putting in God's word. Mm-hmm. What this does is triggers you to stop any action or thought that negatively affects the building and maintenance of relationships. And Lauren just gave a great example of that. You know,
well, I'll tell you, it's one of those things too, that's coming up for me as we're reflecting on this again, as I've been really kind of, putting this to practice in my own life, is to really, and I'm actually going to blog about this today, is to take a negativity fast, to really, really, commit to taking a negativity fast in your own mind, first and foremost, because you can't give out what you're not practicing inside that castle, that interior world, as St. Teresa of Avila says, that your interior castle. It is so essential to manage well the thought life, that take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Mm. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Remove and pray for the grace. Dear God, grant me the grace to remove all negativity toward myself today. And then perhaps tomorrow, dear God, help me to remove all negativity toward others today.
Amen.
And so to really practice, to identify and adjust your behaviors, and it's not about stuffing. It's not about stuffing, because there's a way to speak the truth in love. It's about maximizing and expanding those positive love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and really practicing them in your words, thoughts, deeds, and actions.
Yeah. And you're already there, because you are, when you're born again, you're renewed.
Absolutely.
You already have it there. You just have to tap into it.
Absolutely. You have the resources. Yeah. You have the available
resources. Yes. And the third thing is reckoning to God's picture of reality by using heavenly perspectives and pursuing heavenly relationships. This will create the foundation to build and grow relationships as he would have us do. So what happens is, when we build relationships with other Christians, Lauren and I don't see each other, I think, every day. But we have a relationship that's built on Christ. We're automatically connected. And that relationship, we bounce off prayer with each other. We
share victories, spiritual victories, spiritual warfare.
Questions. Yeah, we question. Yep. All those things help us be connected and help us build on relationships with each other and how we can build relationships with others. So it lets us be evenly yoked, right? But yet, being evenly yoked doesn't mean not building relationships with people outside of your network. But that connection piece is a lot easier if you know and you're learning how to do it with godly people.
Jesus sent people out two by two. It's so essential to really partner with, couple up with someone as a mentor, as a collaborative spiritual partner in Christ.
Yes.
That you can encourage one another as long as it's called today. And yes. Really, and even with this study of emotional intelligence, we really encourage you to get a partner to go through this yes. study and work on one aspect per week. The first week, work on your own emotions. Have a check-in with one another on how your emotions, how are you managing, how aware are you of your emotions? Second week, how well are you managing your emotions? Third week, how aware are you of other people's emotions? Fourth week, how are you managing the emotions of others? Mm-hmm. And as you have someone to kind of bounce off your experiences with us, your triumphs and your the valley times, you can encourage one another to be able to anchor new neural pathways, allow the Holy Spirit to transform your neural net or your behavior that will fire below the surface with consistent yeah. persistence in the ways of God. Yes. God's love and behavior he desires for us.
So that led, and it's a great segue into maintaining, you know, the last sense. We basically, getting a partner is one of the ways, and we need to work as a Christian body of Christ to set our minds on the types of relationship we will have above. Mm. And by that, I mean heavenly relationships. If you set your mind on heavenly relationships, those relationships are all going to be good because God had great relationships. You know, he was able to tell the disciples when they were, you know, out of line, when they weren't out of line, and it was all in a loving way. You know, so we need to set our relationships above, and we need to realize that we control our thinking. We control our thinking, our acting, our self-awareness, our self-reflection, our self-actualization, our socializing, or the social aspects. We control that. And when we do this, it allows us to be other-centric individuals or other-centered individuals that can start positive relationships, the kind that God sees for us.
Absolutely. And this is a study too that you can do with groups of people as well. Any of our studies are designed that way to be able to do group Bible studies with these. The questions are really powerful associated with each one of these studies, but simply asking yourself as well as other people that you're with, how well am I managing the emotions of other people? Mm-hmm. Just having that self-reflection time. Shine the light of your awareness upon ruthless honesty, no judgment, just awareness, because that's the place you can identify and adjust your behavior. Do you shut down in the face of strong emotions? What's your go-to? What's your old brain reactive response? Is it running away? Is it freezing? Do you stonewall other people? Do you use ugly talk? Do you one-up people? Do you use, well, at least you have this, at least statements, which basically take away the validity of another person's emotions when we use at least statements. And then do you find yourself triggered and reacting with similar strong emotions when faced with anger? Do you quickly mirror? Do those mirror neurons take over your behavior? Do you jump into the same emotional expression that you're experiencing or negative emotional expression? These are all high noticing questions that will lead you to awareness, pulling it out on the table. So then you're in a position of empowerment by the power of the Holy Spirit. Dear God, help me to be able to adjust these, to become aware of them first and foremost, and then to invite you in to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And when we live by the Spirit, we won't carry out the desires of the flesh. This is what transformed me when I was 17. I automatically used to curse like a sailor back in Long Island. I used to use the F-bomb like left and right. And all of a sudden, after I accepted Christ, I just didn't even come out of my mouth. It's not like I sat down and had to restrict myself. It was gone. Now, there's certain things that the Holy Spirit will literally, when you ask him to come in and clean house, they will be gone. Yeah. He will literally wipe those things off your plate. And other things are a process.
Well, you're actually right. And you know what? The same thing happened with my dad with smoking cigarettes. He just said, God, take it away from me. And God did it. It's all about
there's certain things.
It's your faith, right? Sometimes that can even happen. I've seen that happen to certain drug addicts. Boom. Mm-hmm. They never take it. It can happen. Mm-hmm. So it has to be, but you know, it's also a process depending on where you are, right? So don't give up. If you're one of these people that may take a little bit longer or you need more word and more nourishment and more support, don't give up, but it's possible.
Keep walking. Keep walking. Like that song, keep walking. Just keep taking a step forward.
Amen.
So just we should sum some things up in terms of just the you know, the four things that we learned, as just for the four takeaways. So the main thing we learned is?
We learned that managing the emotions of others, right? And how to do that and what God says about that, right? And how to do that. The second thing we learned is how we need to reflect on those high noticing emotions. We need to reflect on those so that we can understand what our true perspective is and answer some of those questions on how to manage emotions. And then the third thing we need to do is identify and integrate. What steps do we take? You know, what steps do we take to make change, right? Because how are we going to, as individuals and groups and pairs, and teams and Bible study groups, how are we going to integrate and those into our lives? And the last time, we need to be on a sustainability, a maintenance plan. And that maintenance plan involves us to have a mindset change, which is for some, it's going to be right away. And with others, it may be instant, but it happens.
A process and being attentive to the Lord's guidance through it. Because the reason why something will remain sometimes is because there's different aspects that we haven't come to grips with. We haven't reconciled within ourselves. And God is patient. He is patient because he's not going to let us wander around with the residue of something that's negative, a little serpent in there. So sometimes a behavior change will take 90 days to kind of remove it completely from your radar, but the Holy Spirit can do things instantly. If it's more of a process, and I've said at times, God, why aren't you removing this thorn? My grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness because you're learning something in the weakness.
You're learning. So don't give up.
So not shrinking back from that.
Yeah. So we're going to close with prayer. This is a powerful one, guys. And one that I actually want to make my living on. I want to make sure that we understand our emotions and we're managing them because, the movement of Buddha and the movement of some of the Hindu beliefs and things are world peace. But our peace is in the spirit of Jesus. And that's my movement. My movement is peace and love, which came from Jesus Christ. He showed us the ultimate compassion, the ultimate love. So in prayer, we're going to close. Dear God, Jesus, Heavenly Father, our Lord, grant us the grace of temperance. Lord, help us to understand these verses that we heard and we listened and the examples so that they can be understood. When people react to us or to me with unkind words and judgments, grant me the strength to pause and listen for your voice. Perhaps you will say different things, or you will say, leave it to me. Do not pick up that coal, like Lauren mentioned, of unkind behavior. If you do, it will burn you, and then your wound won't be healed. So Lord, let me borrow your love and kindness, and let me experience the release and the peace that you give to us. Open our mind, Lord, and let us know that our relationships are in our control, and realize that we control our thinking. And by doing that, we allow other-centric individuals, ourselves to be that, and start positive relationships just like the ones you gave to us through Jesus' experience. Thank you, Lord, for this Bible study, and thank you for the gifts that we're learning for this. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that grants us the grace to be able to move forward successfully in life.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us today, and continue to tune in to what God is doing through us by his grace and by his mercy. Edge God in more today into your words, thoughts, deeds, and actions than yesterday. Enjoy practicing, and come visit us at edgegodin.com. God bless you.
God bless you guys. Bye.